the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
Hello,
sir,
this is top quality audio radio from the Bears award winning newsroom.
Do you have a newsroom?
Well, yeah, it's we don't do a lot of news out of it anymore, but we still got that trophy from that scarecrow competition we won back in 1999.
Did you turn that into like a museum or something?
Outside of that, she's pretty much the same as when you left, Mahler.
Is my office still intact? It's still the same?
What's going on? What do you call me last night in the middle of wrestling? You want to do a goddamn interview? It's just drunk and high and tired and very busy, sir.
You or me?
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Cundall. Broadcast talk in sound off mode.
That was the voice of UConn Jack from 100.3 The Bear in Edmonton. He and I go back to the 90s when we both worked at The Bear. And over the summer, he opened up his home to some victims of the Fort Mac fire. And I thought we should share that story today on the podcast. Welcome to the Sound Off Podcast. This is the podcast about broadcast. And as we make our way towards September, we are 10 episodes in. I will have a State of the Podcast address coming up a little bit later. Also, a few job announcements, my thoughts on the 25th anniversary of Pearl Jam's 10, and really the 25th anniversary of the release of all those fine grunge records from back in 1991. And I thought it'd be a good idea to revisit with a guest we had on our very first episode. Andrew Wilcox is the program director at Cruise 100.5 in Fort McMurray, and when we last spoke with him, he was in a hotel room in Edmonton. After fleeing that wildfire, he thought the station had burned down, wasn't sure about his house. He will give us an update on all those fronts and what it was like to go back. The Sound Off Podcast is brought to you by the new single from Santa Clara, Be That Way. If you're a music director of a CHR or Hot AC radio station, bring this song into the meeting this week. It is available on your DMDS right now. It is charting on both those charts, CHR and Hot AC across Canada and the United States. The rest of you can download it now on your iTunes for $1.29.
And now a State of the Podcast update. Here's the owner, CEO, president, programmer, accountant, writer, traffic manager, salesperson, and host, which is every job except the one I do, Matt Cundall.
Here we are 10 episodes in on what I figured would be a lap around the track. In the podcast world, please note that 10 episodes equates one lap around the track. I always like to take a lap around the track on anything new I do. My cousin Jeff Allen, who now is in voiceover in Montreal, and he works in the hotel business. He always tells me, take a lap around the buffet table so you can budget the space on your plate. I also did 10 beginner yoga classes before I went to intermediate. That's just smart. Programming a radio station? Sometimes, you know, you can wait a year at a station before making all those major changes as a program director. That, by the way, is free advice a lot of people should take, and I'm not going to charge you for it. So here we sit, 10 episodes in, and the first thing I did was look at the cost of the podcast and what it takes to produce one. Each episode costs about $111.73 to make. I actually made that number up. It's probably a lot more. Yes, I did make a choice to bring on a AAA producer like Evan Sierminski to oversee the product. Because frankly, when he heard the product I produced, he said, it's just not quite there. And I agreed. It's kind of ridiculous to have a podcast about broadcast and it sounds like shit. I also advertised my voiceover business on this podcast, and absolutely nobody is going to buy a voiceover from somebody who sounds like this. So I'm turning to you, the person who has already made the contribution and effort to download the product and allow me space on your iPhone or computer. I've created a podcast advertising page on my website. $5 gets you mentioned as a sponsor on the podcast, but there are also a whole bunch of other advertising packages. Now, if advertising's not your thing, everything helps. Ideally, it'd be great to get one podcast out per week, and we'll do it as long as you keep downloading it and people keep supporting it. It only takes $5 just to keep it going until next week. Finally, thank you for sharing and telling people about this podcast. It's encouraging to have people share the show and have kind words float back to you. It's great. As a result, we're going to do our very best to get one podcast out per week, and I'm going to go out and get great guests, ones that are passionate about radio. As always, everything about this podcast can be found at www.mattkundle.com.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
As you may or may not know, I'm also a radio consultant, and I have clients, past and present, who have recently reached out for some talent needs. So station markets are in the 100 to 150,000 population size. One station's looking for a program director who can go on the air, such as sort of the norm these days. Ideal candidate right now is somebody who's currently a program director, or perhaps a music director or assistant program director, looking to make that all-important jump to becoming a program director. Another station is looking for an up-and-coming air talent who can pull a midday shift or afternoon drive. If you're interested in these jobs, you can send me an email, jobs@mattkundle.com. I do have a bunch of rules. No drug users, no idiots, no slackers, no liars or cheats. Last thing I want to do is recommend someone for a job and then they flame out at the other end because of any one of those reasons. In my line of work, that's bad for business. And speaking of business, the podcast is brought to you by Matt Kundle Voiceovers, thanking our recent clients, including Season.ca. You think your radio station can't afford unlimited pages and quick turnarounds for promos and radio imaging? Yes, you can. What you can't afford is not to have it. Go to mattkundlevoice.com.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
It was the 25th anniversary of Pearl Jam's 10 album over the weekend, and a few stations took time to acknowledge it and had some weekend specials. I thought a few more stations would get involved, but I get the feeling that things fall through the cracks with more and more programming people working in the now instead of looking ahead and actually programming, especially during the summer when there are shifts to cover. I think back to 1991 through 1995 and rock radio and the difficulty many stations had trying to integrate grunge music into the Supertramp, Doobie Brothers, and Eagles, along with the hair metal of Poison, GNR, and Skid Row. The whole thing sounded like roadkill on the air, and the only band everybody could agree on was U2. I want to play a clip from Randy Renaud's series Through This Door. This ran on Shoem in Montreal, and it was to celebrate the station's 45th birthday. Randy Renaud and I were having dinner last year and we were jamming on ideas for this incredible series he was working on. And I said to him, after a few bottles of wine, do you remember how fucked up Shoem got when Nirvana showed up on the scene? How we all argued and then the metal disappeared overnight. Well, here's an episode from that great Shoem series from last year.
Through this door, step the elite. Celebrating 45 years as Montreal's spirit of rock. Say you want a
revolution. Roll rock and roll for you.
Through this door is Shoem. Here's Randy Renaud.
Okay, with Ted in the newsroom and Andrew Carter on the road and Cindy Aikman with the Bell Cellular Callers, we're going to try and keep you on top of it. This is music from the Black Crowes on Shoem FM. We have the Request Hour coming up, too. Good morning.
And the scent of hairspray permeates rock. It is the age of teased hair, spandex, and platform boots. But there is a whole new movement brewing in Seattle that is about to shake up rock. Come down to my Sampton Beach, as I want you to be. The new movement is called Grunge. And it's a revolution in sound, style, and attitude. Nirvana is at its forefront. And in late 1991, their second album, Nevermind, is poised to change the landscape of rock.
Will I swear that I don't have a gun?
The only problem is that major radio stations across North America respond to the album and the whole new musical genre with a mix of confusion and indifference.
It was a difficult time internally because there were kind of camps in the station. It was the days when everybody on staff got to toss in their opinion and everybody was asked their opinion, and it made for some really interesting discussions.
Record company executive decides that if there is any radio station in Canada that is likely to take a chance on this new sound, it's Montreal's legendary progressive rock station, Shoum. So he flies to Montreal to stage a one-man or one oversized baby protest. Here's Kevin Shea.
I came up with a plan where I would get a large diaper, I would get baby slippers, I would use a baby blanket to lay on the ground, I would have a soother around my neck, a baby bonnet, and I would go and sit in front of Shoum on the baby blanket with a boombox and play the track over and over and over again ad nauseum.
Dressed only in a diaper on a cold December day and holding a sign that says, "This baby needs a home on Shoum," Kevin Shea's mock protest soon draws a crowd.
I'm playing the track really loud, which wasn't really appreciated by several people along the street, but people wanted to find out what was going on. I didn't even realize that Dawson College students would be passing by the doors of Shoum at that time. Well, they came by, and they loved the track, and everybody wanted to hear the track, so I gave away a bunch of cassette singles of this track, and people started to hover around because they liked the track, but they also wanted to see what the heck was going on, that it blocked Green Avenue.
The stunt worked. The Dawson students flooded Shoum with requests, and Music Plus, who had sent cameras down to film the protest, started to play the video. And once Shoum started to play it, other radio stations across Canada followed suit, and it soon became a nationwide hit and putting a serious crimp in the fortunes of hair metal. As for that scantily clad record company exec,
after the fact, I ended up getting pneumonia. Went to the doctor, I had walking pneumonia, and I was in the hospital for 3 days.
You can listen to the other 17 episodes of Shoum's Through This Door on their SoundCloud page. By the way, Nirvana's Nevermind CD and the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik celebrate their 25th anniversary on the same day, September 24th. Plan accordingly.
Now, the Sound Off Podcast presents Remedial Media. Because there are segments of the broadcast industry that just need it.
Yukon Jack is a morning host at 100.3 The Bear in Edmonton. Full disclosure, I worked at that station back in the 90s. So if our conversation sounds chummy at times, it's because I told Yukon he would never amount to anything with a fifth place Saturday night show while I was number two during afternoon drive. The next book told a different story. I slipped to five and he went to number one. Competition at the workplace is healthy, but today I think words like that would be considered bullying. Now, don't get me started. If you don't like what you hear, just go listen to this podcast in your campus safe place. Edmonton Radio does something better than other cities in Canada. When there's a need for help, the media responds immediately. Now, perhaps that's learned behavior from three generations of Forbes. The late Jerry, who started Santa's Anonymous at 630 Ched. Son Marty started the Bear Children's Fund in the 90s, and that raised over $1 million for children's charities in its first 5 years. Brother Jerry carries out acts of generosity with Jerry Forbes' Secret Wish in Calgary on CJ92. And Marty's daughter, Rayanne Boychuk, raises awareness about Graves' disease in the city. So when Edmonton became home to many from early May right on through the summer, Yukon Jack, he didn't sit still. He led by example, and he took in a displaced Fort McMurray family who had recently emigrated from Nigeria. It's not a story he tells, but I made him tell it. Yukon Jack from Edmonton's Best Rock 100.3, The Bear.
Oh, I just like hearing you do the call letters again, Matt.
Thank you.
Just like the old days.
We're just going to live in the... We can't live in the past in this whole interview.
Have you been to Edmonton? That's what we do here. We live in the past. The 06 playoff run. Wayne Gretzky, the glory years. It's all about living in the past here.
Well, just roll it back then a few months, if you could, to the Fort McMurray fires.
Yeah.
You and I had a chat, and we were talking about how long Edmonton was really going to have to be in a state of helping Fort McMurray. Tell me about your story and the people that you brought in.
Well, it was a weird... I was driving home from work, and it was one of those things where the scope of it, I think, finally hit me through radio. I was driving home from work. We'd been dealing with the story at work all day. That's all I'd been talking about. And I was driving home listening to another station, and it was kind of the scope and the magnitude of it all. And a young parent of young kids myself, I just kind of put myself in their shoes. And I don't know if you had a panic attack or an anxiety thing, but I got pretty stressed out. And I just thought, you know, what would I do if that was me with, you know, I've got places I can go, but what if I didn't? You know, what, you can't raise a family. You can't live in a hostel, essentially, because what had happened is they converted Northlands Agricom into, you remember Freedom Town in Scarface when they first get off the boat and they're eating all the octopus?
Yes.
That's essentially what it was, a big, echoey, loud, filthy chamber. There was illness and plague running rampant through it. And I just thought, you know, I got home and I live in a beautiful acreage with a beautiful wife and two beautiful sons, and my life is pretty good. And I got home to my wife and I said, we have to help somehow. And I didn't really know what that was going to be yet. So this was at the same time that the people were rolling into Northlands by the bus load and by the vehicle load. So I said, I'm just going to go down. I was going to actually the airport to pick up a buddy who was flying back from Fort Mac, and he had a home here in Edmonton. So I went to pick him up, and then I went home and I talked to my wife and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but let's load up what we have, because we had lots of extra diapers. We had lots of extra food supplies for pets, because we have pets ourselves. So I just took anything extra that we had and drove down to Northlands to drop it off. And I said to my wife, there's a chance that I might come back with some people. And she said, yeah, go do. I trust you to pick the right ones. And let's just try and help however we can. And it was, you know, one of those things where in radio, I think we should all strive to be community leaders and, you know, call the citizens and the community to action when there's things that need to be done. Not so you make the headlines and get that stroke, which I always feel real greasy and dirty about. It's like, does a good deed happen if the newspaper is not there to cover it? It's something I've struggled with. So I just did this for myself, my own conscience, because how was I going to be able to ask people to give of themselves if I wasn't doing it myself? So we went down to Northlands and dropped off the supplies, and it was a weird place. There were people walking around. I think, I don't remember the numbers, but thousands of people. And some of them just kind of walking around in a trance, just soaking it all in, trying to make sense of what was going on. And there was kind of makeshift stores set up in the back of pickup trucks. So I just found a pickup truck and I unloaded my vehicle and I said, here, just take this. And as I was doing that, people were literally walking off the bus saying, I need diapers for a two-year-old. We need milk. We need formula. We need water. We need food. And people were just, okay, take this. What size? We got this over here. There's some clothes. Blah, 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 blah. And it was a real weird kind of makeshift Walmart happening out in the parking lot. I looked around purposely, you know, living in the public eye, you've got to be careful. I didn't want people knowing where I lived or with my family. So I was quite selective about who I invited into my home. So this sounds terrible, but I wanted someone that looked like they didn't listen to the bear. So someone that wouldn't know me or know what I do or you know, have an axe to grind with me or not like me or be a fan. I just wanted someone that didn't look like they even knew what the bear was. So I found a young Nigerian family, Toba and Moyo, and their baby girl, Lydia, who is 2 months old. And they look like nice folks. And I just approached them and I said, here's what I can offer you. I said, do you need help? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, I've got an acreage. I've got a basement that can be yours. I said, I've got dogs. I don't know if that's a concern. I just kind of laid out all the concerns. And they kind of reluctantly, and you know me, Mahler or Matt, I don't necessarily look like the most trustworthy, friendly individual.
Well, you look like you're probably going to put somebody through a table and not a pre-cut table.
You know what's funny? When I went there, I was talking to my buddy who I had picked up from the airport, and I said, you know, here's kind of what I'm looking for. And he said, so you're looking for someone that doesn't look like you. And I said, yeah, pretty much. So Toba and Moyo followed me back to my house, and we set him up in the basement for the first night. And then this is where it started to get good, because, you know, I'd mentioned to a friend of mine that I got this family staying with me. And he said, well, I've got a 35-foot trailer just sitting out at my mom's place on a farm. So he went and picked that up. So it's kind of that snowball effect. When you start doing good, others, it can inspire others to do good, which is why you should do good. Again, not to get the headlines, but to motivate others. So my buddy Henry dropped off the big trailer in the driveway, and to be honest, this trailer was probably nicer than their place back in Fort Mac. Big crank out living room, air conditioning, Wi-Fi, cable. It is a beautiful, beautiful unit. And then his brother got word of that, and then he hit the grocery store and dropped a couple $100 on groceries and made sure it was well stocked for them. And it just made for a more comfortable environment to raise a 2-month-old for the next few months, which is how long they stayed. I think they stayed for about two and a half, 3 months. And they're actually going to be moving back here in November. They've decided they're going to uproot and move to Edmonton.
Wow.
Well, we made great friends out of it. And it was one of these things where you couldn't have planned it really any better. They were the best house guests you could imagine, always receptive to a dinner invitation or, you know, we had a birthday party for Moyo, like, because Toba was traveling back and forth to work. He worked security at one of the refineries up in Fort Mac, so he was flying in and out from time to time. So they were always receptive to hospitality, but they never overstepped the boundaries. They never, you know, let themselves in, that type of thing. So they were like the best roommates we could ever have. My house, doing mornings, were early to bed, early to rise, and they were the opposite. Baby slept in late, baby went to bed late. So it was just like having the perfect roommate, and made some really good friends out of it, and learned, like, it was cool just having Nigerian roommates, because it's such a different culture, you know, and they'd only been in Fort Mac for 2 years. So it was just a really cool learning experience.
What did they lose in the disaster?
They were very fortunate. They didn't lose much. This is another one of those perspective things, because they didn't lose much because they didn't have much. When they left and came here, we kind of asked them, you know, so what did you leave behind? And they had rented a furnished home. So they had their vehicle with them. And Toba was like, really? The only things we really own are a couple of iPads that we left back there. And they were fortunate enough that their house didn't burn down and they didn't sustain any damage. But that, you know how it went. It didn't mean that they weren't homeless for a couple of months still while Fort Mac got back on its feet.
So why does Edmonton do this better than any other city?
I don't know. I struggle with that, and I try to make sense of that, because I think on the surface, Edmonton can be a little brash, a little redneck, a little racist, a little standoffish. And then when push comes to shove, it's like all that goes out the window and none of it matters and just help. We saw it first, I think, with Calgary when Calgary flooded. And you know what the relationship is. It's a Springfield-Shelbyville thing where, you know, we hate Calgary, we dump on Calgary, vice versa. But God forbid somebody else steps in and starts doing it, because then it's like they're our little brother or we're their little brother, and then we stick up for them. So when Calgary was going through it, Edmonton was real quick to send help down. And Fort Mac here is the butt of many, many jokes, just being the type of town it is, that roughneck, rig pig, redneck town, or at least that's the perception of it. But when it needed help, they were our neighbors. I don't know why, Matt. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, when people from Fort Mac would come in with money into Edmonton for the weekend, they come down, they party, they leave a trail of minor destruction and then head back. Yeah. And we just go, oh, well, that's Fort Mac. Have a good trip back. Thank you for leaving your money.
100%. Thanks for buying your trucks. Thanks for all the loonies at the strip clubs. Sorry about that bar fight, and away you go. So, but I don't think, you know, Fort Mac, at least prior to the fires, a little bit prior to that, you know, it's kind of the economic driving force behind Western Canada, or the entire country, you could argue. And obviously there's been a dip and a slip there, but I don't think that had anything to do. I think it could have been any community nearby. It could have been Grand Prairie. It could have been Dawson Creek. It could have been, you know, anywhere within a few hours. And I think Edmonton still would have opened up their homes and their hearts and their wallets. And here's the other thing. I'm involved with a few other charities. I've got one coming up We just did our big stallery week here at the radio station, and we raised a bunch of cash. I've got another one coming up, Squats for Tots, which is a weightlifting kind of sponsorship deal where it raises money for the Kids with Cancer Society. And we just surpassed our goal. Like, I thought the rest of this fiscal year we would suffer charitably. I thought donations would be down across the board because I myself, you know, on top of giving up my home for a few months, I kicked in several hundred dollars worth of food and money and supplies, and I know that everyone did. So I thought that, the rest of the charities would suffer, but that's not the case, or it doesn't seem to be.
No, and you know, there's been a huge tradition of charity in Edmonton over the years. You think Santa's Anonymous is one of the predominant mm-hmm. ones for the last 40 some odd years, even longer.
Right.
How many years has that been? That must be 50.
Oh, God. I remember it when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I'm pushing 40.
Then, you know, the Bear Children's Fund, which raised $1 million in bearware. And this is a radio station with T-shirt sales.
And leather ball caps.
Yeah, and that was done in about 4 or 5 years. We raised $1 million. There's just about every high-profile personality in the city is out not only doing the station charity work, but doing their own charity work, which is why I wanted to have you on here, because a lot of people don't know this story about how you brought in a family, and maybe there were others who did it across the dial in Edmonton. But, you know, the story doesn't need to get told, and like you said, we don't need to do it to toot our own horn.
Right. And that's what I struggle with. I remember calling you going, how do I capitalize on this from a selfish radio perspective without seeming like this is why I'm doing it? Because really, the reason I chose to do it at this stage in my life, I would have done the exact same thing if I was a welder. You know what I mean? But I knew that my story would inspire, motivate, light a fire under others to do the same. And I saw that firsthand just in my immediate circle of friends. I had friends step up. So, but yeah, it's something that I've often struggled with. It's, you know, did the good deed happen if the cameras weren't there?
Yeah, I remember when 9/11 hit and mm-hmm. I was on the air that day and about 5 or 6 planes came in, South Korean jets generally, you know, sort of like that's where the path was before heading out over the Pacific. And I remember saying, we better get something out at the airport so these people have a place to stay. What's your relationship going to be with this family now that they're moving to Edmonton?
Friends for life, for sure. And such an odd couple. Like I said, they're from Nigeria, so they're small African people. And, you know, part of the reason I picked them is because I said, you know, I think I could take that guy in a fight because he's just a little guy. So it's this big, bald, mean-looking white dude in a small family of black people from Nigeria. It's just a funny relationship that if you came over and me and Toba and Moyo were having a beer together, you would never know how we got together. But they're family now. Like I said, we had a birthday party for Moyo when Toba was away. We're very happy to be that liaison to help connect them to the Edmonton community when they make that move, i.e., we'll go check out places for them. We'll tell them what neighborhoods to avoid, what neighborhoods they might like. My children will know little baby Olivia, or I'm sorry, baby Lydia growing up. And they still, my boys are 1 and 3, and you know, that kind of impressionable years to make friends that will last a lifetime. And they're just good people. I mean, if they were a-holes, I'd be having a different conversation with you about them. But just by chance, they're wonderful people. And regardless of how our relationship started, it'll be close moving forward. And I like to think also, Matt, that if I was ever in Nigeria one day and I was like, hey, but like I'm sure I would be welcomed in their family's home. And I know that just speaking to some of their family, they made it quite clear that, you know, thank you for helping out our son and our daughter, or our brother and our sister. They wanted to talk to us and just say thank you for opening their homes. Because especially when there's some distance, you know, we knew how bad it was here, how bad it was in Fort Mac. But if you're on the other side of the world, and your brain is filling in those blanks, and it was as catastrophic as it was to begin with, it'd be pretty scary to be far away from your family and not know what laid next for them.
One of the things I do remember about you, and that's having to teach you how to eat a proper meal outside of just, you know where the story is going, right?
Yeah, don't eat like a trucker.
Yeah, so I took you to an Indian restaurant, you ate like a trucker, and then you had indigestion after, and I, you know, you're not supposed to eat that much.
I know.
So I'm dying to know, what did the family teach you any dishes, any traditional African dishes?
Yes, we had a very nice chicken and fried rice dish. And there was another one that we never got around to. They explained it to me. This is what I found fascinating about a good part of this relationship that we developed was, well, what's this like in Africa? And have you seen a cheetah? Like this type of stuff, right? So I wanted to know about the food. I wanted to know about the names. I wanted to know about the culture. And one they have is called swallow. And it's almost like a paste from what I understand, and you would use this kind of paste to scoop up other foods and you eat it with your hands, and we never got around to that. I just don't know if it was something that couldn't be prepared in a 35-foot travel trailer, but I'm sure when they are back in November, I'm sure we'll get into some good old Nigerian food, but and we'll have them over for some turkey dinner at Christmas, I'm sure also.
Well, you got fall coming up. I think we all have fall coming up, not just you. Yeah. Actually, you're in Edmonton, mm-hmm. So, I mean, fall probably hit last week.
It's already here.
In the middle of August, I think that's when fall arrives. Fall ratings coming up, big things for the show. Tell me about the show and what's coming up on The Bear this fall.
Oh, we're working right now. We're smack dab. We like to get a jump on things. So we're doing 15 seconds of fame, which basically we give the Good Bear listeners 15 seconds to entertain us. What is it that you do that's special, different? Remember David Letterman's Stupid People Tricks?
Yep.
It's basically that in radio form. I wanted to call it Stupid Listener Tricks, but then it was open to interpretation if the listeners were stupid or the tricks were stupid, which I thought was a clever double entendre. But we've gone with 15 seconds of fame. So far we've had a guy pound a bottle of Frank's Red Hot. We've got a girl coming up that can sing with her mouth closed. People like to squirt things and drink things. We're trying not to go all that way. We're trying to give the contest some balance as far as the content goes. We've got a guy supposedly that can tie his wiener in a knot and still go to the bathroom. So that's where we're at now, Matt.
You know what I really like about this internet age is that I can just decide to check out the internet footage of what you post online rather than having to listen to your show.
Yeah, it that's kind of not the you know, you can listen online too, Matt.
I know.
Bearrocks.com.
Yeah, I guess. I could.
And then you can complain about how much better it was when you were here.
I don't think I would, actually.
How many times were you nominated for Music Director of the Year?
That was six times. I was six-time nominated Music Director of the Year in Canada.
All right? Six-time loser?
Six-time loser. The Susan Lucci of the whole thing. I'm sure there's someone else out there who's got it worse.
The Susan Lucci bit, it's not like that's how old we are now that that's not even a timely joke anymore. Like nobody knows who Susan Lucci is anymore, do they?
No. You know why? She actually won. Eventually.
Oh, she won?
Yeah, she won. She won an Emmy. And
then the bit died.
And then the bit died. The whole thing died. And you know what? I'm not the type of person, by the way, to live life in the rearview mirror and to say, boy, things were way back better in the 90s. Because you know what? It wasn't. It wasn't better.
So?
No, it wasn't better in the 90s.
It's different.
Yeah, the 90s were strange. You know, and maybe I see all the records that come back with research and they're not always that strong. But, you know, I don't know anybody who's really pining for the days of Better Than Ezra
or C-Spot Run.
Dishwalla.
Oh.
And now, the Sound Off Podcast presents. Yup, there's a podcast for that.
Today it's a podcast on the Canadian music industry. Some of the people who've already appeared on it, Warren Kopnick from Sony Music, Paul Evanoff from Evanoff Radio, and Derek Ross from Slate Music. These three people also are Buffalo Bills fans. That just answered a whole lot of questions about them.
Hey there, this is Dervla. I am talking to you from Toronto, and I have a podcast called The One Sheet. It is a music industry podcast where each episode I sit down with a high-profile music industry expert. We get some tips and advice and insight in their respective field within the industry. And of course, we get some awesome behind-the-scenes stories along the way. I started this podcast because I saw a need to shed some more light into the inner workings of the music industry. I was meeting with a lot of students and they just didn't know what was available out there. Even some people that have been working in the industry don't know what everybody else does. So with the contacts that I built, I decided, why not get the people that are at the top of their game to actually explain what they do, how they got there, and, you know, it's a bit more inspiring than just hearing it from me. So, if you want to check it out, the web address is www.theonesheet.ca. Yes, there's a podcast for that.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel.
Andrew Wilcox is the program director at Cruise 100.5 in Fort McMurray. He was our very first guest on this podcast. He fled Fort McMurray like everyone else back on May 3rd. Since then, he's been managing not only the radio station, but living away from his home, which was damaged by the fires. I figured it was time to catch up with Andrew and find out about life in Fort McMurray these days. Andrew.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Thank you. By the way, thank you for being brave enough to be on the very first episode of this podcast.
No worries, man. It was fun. I'm in a bit of a different place now, that's for sure.
So the last time we spoke with you, you were in a hotel room in Edmonton.
Yep.
You didn't know about your house. You didn't know what you'd be going back to. And so I guess the first question is, how long did you spend in the hotel in Edmonton? And what did you find when you went home?
Well, I was in Edmonton, actually. I'm trying to remember exactly when we spoke. While I was in Edmonton, I was actually staying with family. And then I ended up in the hotel after that when I got back to Fort McMurray. But it was, I'm trying to think of the exact point when we went back. But coming back, I was in Edmonton for just under a month. We ended up coming back to Fort McMurray just before reentry, which was at the beginning of June. We were actually very lucky. It took a little bit of work, but we got the city to see us as an essential service for people when they returned, and we got to come in a couple of days earlier into the city and then start prepping the radio station for when people started to return at the beginning of the next week, which was quite a surreal experience returning to the city, both in positive and negative ways. I had seen the destruction of Fort McMurray when I drove out of the town, and then to come back in, it was probably 3 weeks since the last time I'd been in, you definitely saw where all the destruction still was, what was still gone. And then you saw the green start to sneak up through the ground around a lot of the burnt trees. And it was incredible to see how much green had managed to sneak its way back into existence in such a short time. And then it was also the whole city sort of sat in this kind of smog at that time. And that took about 2 or 3 weeks to clear, and the station was filled with it, and every home was filled with it. I remember walking into the recreation center here in Fort McMurray, and it hung in the air. The air was thicker because of it. It was a bit of a crazy kind of experience in that sense.
The radio station was open. You got into the station, and the National Post ran a story on you and saying how you couldn't go home.
Yeah, I wasn't available to go into my place, and still actually ended up never being able to return to my home. The place that I was living in, which is still in a restricted area, which actually opens up tomorrow for the general public to return to. Parts of it open up tomorrow for the general public to return to. The place I was living in is up there. Turns out I won't be able to live in that place anymore with dealing with the landlord and what looks like is going to happen. There's going to be about 9 months worth of repairs on that place. Even though the structurally it's sound, that the home still stands and everything's okay, due to the chemical retardant that was used to fight the fire, due to the stuff in the air, due to all sorts of contaminants and such, they're going to have to actually replace the roof off of the home and the garage, replace all of the insulation, replace a lot of other things inside the home. So that home's not going to be livable for quite a while. So I've been we only found that out a few weeks ago, so now I have to move into a new place, which I actually, oddly enough, am signing everything on tonight. So, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, man, not going to lie.
So when you go back to your original home, what are you going to find? When you go back to your original home, what is the one thing you want to take with you? Is there anything there that you really are hoping is still there that you can have?
Well, as much as it's in a restricted zone, it's still there. And we have been able to re-enter it. We were allowed to re-enter about a month and a half after the fire. I can't remember the exact date we were allowed to go back in. But you have to go through a security check line and all of this stuff to go back into it. But the number one thing I went back looking for was my motorcycle and my stand-up paddleboards, to be honest with you. The little trinkets and pictures and stuff I actually pulled out when the fire happened. So I was quite lucky to grab those before I left. The big things that I wanted to make sure were still okay was my motorcycle, my two stand-up paddleboards. So luckily they were all right, and we'll be fully reunited in the next week. So, as I said, the home ended up being thankfully quite structurally sound, but it's going to need quite a lot of repairs over the next little while, and I'm going to be moving into a new place now, it looks, in the next week. So it's been a long 3 months.
What did you find at the radio station when you got back?
You know what? Thankfully, I mean, it's so interesting, man. I mean, the biggest, the most interesting thing about all of this is how trying to wade your way through all of the different reports that you get. There was times where I was sure my home was gone, just gone from some of the reports that were coming out. There were times where it looked like it was fine. There was points where it was going to be that and not. Same with the radio station. There were reports at some point that literally the gas station beside the station had blown up, that, we had gone off the air and things were looking to be destroyed. What we found when we got into the radio station was it looked mostly like we had left it. Power hadn't been gone for too long from the building. And so thankfully we didn't have to do a whole lot of extra work, but we still are doing work. I mean, as much as it turned out to not be a part of the main, the overall fire, we still had to have every single duct clean. We're getting all of the ceiling tiles still cleaned. We've had every wall and nook and cranny cleaned, I think twice actually, just to get the scent of smoke and mildew out of the place. And that's not any different than pretty much every building in downtown Fort McMurray. And downtown Fort McMurray, for the most part, wasn't even hit directly by the fire. So, yeah, it was, thankfully, most of the pieces of the radio station happened to be there when we got back.
School starts this week for a lot of people, and I think everybody sort of wants to get back to normal, but there's just a lot of things that are just not back to normal. What's not back to normal yet?
Well, it's a funny thing, man. Like, we had a reentry at the beginning of June, and we were concerned it was going to be 70,000, 80,000 people coming back. The city was concerned they were going to have like 30, 40,000 people come back. And it has been really a lot slower than everybody kind of expected. It's been a slow return to the city for a long time, for about a month and a half. A lot of businesses were operating on lower hours. Some businesses have not returned. A lot of local businesses, unfortunately, have suffered greatly from this. They don't have the infrastructure of, you know, larger businesses to just go, okay, we'll pull everything out of that business and we'll ship stock up from another one of our businesses and get you up and going. Unfortunately, local businesses don't have to do that. Local businesses in Fort McMurray really are struggling at this time to get everything back and going. And staffing has been really tough. Staffing has been a really hard thing to do here in Fort McMurray over the last little while. I saw stats from Slave Lake, and don't quote me on the exact numbers on this, but they had basically 75% turnover in that entire town of people living there and staff. That's incredible. I mean, we haven't hit 75% here at the radio station, but we're probably at about 50% turnover at this radio station right now. So we've been looking to hire new people, and every business in town is seeing the same numbers. A lot of restaurants haven't been able to work full hours because they can't get staff, especially fast food restaurants and stuff like that. It's been hard to get staff up here. So that's been a tough thing. So, and that makes it harder on the rest of the people living in town because they want to get back to a normal life. So they want to get to their regular services. Luckily now with school returning, as you mentioned, that's been really sort of an anchor point for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people who had the ability because of their jobs or whatnot to stay away from Fort McMurray for the time, want to get back here to Fort McMurray so they can restart their life with their kids in school that they want the kids in. So that's become a point for a lot of people coming back. And we've seen that over the last 2 weeks, a lot of people returning, you know, that we thought would return a month and a half ago. But no, they're coming back now as they get their kids ready for school and that. I mean, Fort McMurray is a lot more of a family town than a lot of people think that it is. I think that it has the reputation in the country and in other places of being a lot of dudes up here just to work. But no, it's very much a family town. This is where the people who are out there working at camp have their families close to them. and they want their families to be here close to them. So they live in Fort McMurray for that reason. So it's been tough because a lot of services are lessened here in town. Some businesses have still not opened. Some businesses won't reopen. And there's just been increased traffic in town with a lot of workers, and that's going to increase even more as we get construction started on the most affected areas, which doesn't really begin until about September 30th, as cleanup is supposed to finish by then. So right now we have a lot of workers in to clean those affected areas, and now we're going to have workers in to rebuild and reconstruct a lot of those homes, which has also had a massive effect on real estate in town. There's a lot of homes for sale. There's a lot of people looking to buy. There's a lot of homes for rent. There's a lot of people looking to rent. A lot of families are struggling to find rentals because their home is burned down, because they're having a hard time finding pet-friendly homes. So that's been a struggle for a lot of people up here. There's just a lot of things in flux, which makes it really hard to move forward for a lot of people. You know, but the nice thing that we've noticed over the last few weeks at least, a lot of community events have started to come back and are being planned to return. They're just happening a little bit later, and we've discovered as a radio station trying to operate, we've got to just accept that everything's going to happen a little bit later than we want it to. We want to be back at full power right now, you know, while we're at full power. That's a bad phrase to use, but we want to be back at full force right now. That's not going to happen just yet. That's going to happen a little bit later, and other businesses are thinking the same thing. We want to be out there, full power, selling everything we've got, but they can't just yet. They're working on it.
You're a program director. You've got needs. You mentioned that you've got about half the staff you had before. You've got a lot of broadcasters who are listening to this podcast. What can they do to help you right now? Is there anything that anybody listening can do to help you?
To help? I don't know. I think the key, I would see more my thing, the reason that I want to talk is to help them in the sense of just letting them know that if something like this happens, I think the keyest thing to do is help your staff the best that you possibly can in any way that you can, because they're the ones that are going to do the work for you. And our staff has stepped up in massive, massive ways during this fire in order to help make this radio station successful through this. And even the ones that have left, we have lost a lot of staff. They put in their full time and they got the job done, before they went. They all went for fair reason. My best, if I can hopefully help other people in saying, like, I guess for me, it's don't be too hard on yourself. It's all going to come together and give your staff the time and the space to work. And do their things, and it'll all come together.
Thank you very much for taking the time again to just speak with us and just take, you know, the 20 minutes out of your day, because we know you're busy.
Yeah,
you got a lot to do, and
we got a few things going on.
We're gonna check back in with you in about another few months to see how things are going as you continue rebuilding.
Anytime.
That's the podcast for this week. If your station is in need of a radio consultant or talent coach, the numbers are on the website at mattkundle.com. The podcast was produced by Evan Serminski. Voiceovers by Evan Serminski and Jessica Binstock. Those people cost money, so consider advertising on this podcast. Failing that, please rate and review wherever fine social media is housed. The show was brought to you by Santa Clara and the new single Be That Way. Hot AC and CHR music directors, bring this song to your next music meeting. We'll let the song carry you out. Thanks for listening.
listening to the Sound Off Podcast. Get updates on Twitter and Facebook. The home of the Sound Off Podcast, mattkundle.com. Do I have to spell it for you? Kundal. Rhymes with bundle.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com.
And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.